Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 381, Hear and Be Healed. Guest Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this ninth message in the Roots and Fruit series on Sunday, July 28th, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I'm on fire. I can feel it. It's roaring, it's burning, and my face shows it. So, excuse the pink. Hallelujah. I praise God. I just thank you. I'm bringing you the word today, and the word is hear and be healed. So if you haven't heard that already from Sarah, and that's what we're doing today. We're listening. We're listening. And so I'll wait to open that. I just want to release the word here of John 6:63. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and they're full of life. The words I'm going to speak to you are life. They're going to bring life to your body. They're going to bring healing to your body. Jehovah Rapha's in the room. So I need you to listen if you want your healing. Okay? I feel this message very, very full in my heart. And I feel it so much. I felt I should bring some Q-tips. In case anybody needs to clean out their ears so they can hear today. I wanted to be prepared in the natural as well as the spiritual. So if you need one, you know, I'll have somebody pass them out in a little bit later. Anyways, the word is life, and I'm bringing you the word. And there's life in that today, and it's yours. He gave it to you. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. And he's got word for you today. So, Father, we just ask, just fill us with the spirit of revelation and wisdom so that we may know you better, that incomparably great power for those of us who believe is released out of our bellies and pours out over us so that we can receive everything you have for us today. You want a well church. You want a church that's well and walking in total healing and being able to show the world your glory. And so, Father, we just want to open our ears. We want to hear. We want to receive. And we just praise you. You because you are God. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Shalom. Peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, hear and be healed. All right, go ahead with the first picture. Luke 15:5-15. It says, yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. I thought it was important for you to see as well as hear in case you were a visual person. I'm speaking audibly. There's the visual. The Holy Spirit will grab a hold of that in you. And so we have to hear and be healed. And I'm going to show you today in the Word how many times it says that combination. Jesus wants us to get this. All right. And the next verse I'm going to talk about is Luke 6:17-19. And you can put up that second picture. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. That's a lot of places. A lot of people coming from very far away. They came to hear him and to be healed. Hear and be healed of their diseases, the word says sickness. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. You hear that? All were healed. The power flowed out of him, and they grabbed a hold of it with their ears in their spirit, and they were healed. It's that simple. Do you want healing today? Can I see a raising of hands? Who needs a healing today? Hallelujah. We're going to have a room full of healed people. Glory, glory, glory. Aaliyah, get your camera ready for testimonies at the end, okay? Praise the Lord. All right. We need to hear, really hear what the word says to experience it deeply. We need to meditate on the word of God to get that revelation. We hear it. We hear it. We read over it. We hear it. We hear it. Or do you hear it? Does your spirit hear it? Do you see it manifesting in your body? Because the power of God is within you. There's not a baby Jesus in you. It's the fullness of God in you. It's all in there. And all you have to do is let him out. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. He's ready to do that for you. Every single person has the fullness of God already in them. That's a revelation to me not too long ago. Unlock him. Unlock him. He wants to manifest in your body. He wants to fill every cell of your body with his healing characteristic, power, nature, the fullness of God. All right? So listening is love. Do you love Jesus? Yes. Then we got to listen. We got to listen. We got to listen. We got to hear. We got to receive. He wants us to have this so much with the way the world is going right now. The craziness of the Olympic stuff, all of this stuff. God wants us, the church, to be well, healed, whole, delivered, set free, to show the world that we don't care that they did that, because he's going to defend himself and he's going to show his power in his people. So we got to get this. I'm excited. I'm excited. Hallelujah. He's in the room. I don't even know if I'm going to pray for you yet. He hasn't told me. But I'm telling you, Jehovah Rapha's in the room because we're talking about this. He's going to heal your bodies as you listen and hear. I don't know if we're going to lay hands. I don't know if we're going to call up. I don't know what we're going to do. He'll tell us as we go. We're walking the path and he'll light the way. All right? So this is a principle in the Word. It requires us to go inside our relationship with him, to listen to him and depend on him for the specific strategy that he has for our healing. He has strategies for healing. And when you're in that relationship with him and you're seeking that, the song said, when we seek him, when we call him, when we worship him, he will manifest himself within our body. And you'll feel him filling up in your spirit and he will overflow into your body. Isn't it amazing how he set us up? You know, you see, God in nature, Sarah asked that question, we're nature, and he created us for fullness of him within us. It's amazing. It's just wonderful. So let's take a look. A review from last week. For some of us, we weren't here. I'm going to just review what Sarah talked about in the Roots and Fruit series that we're in. The parable of the four soils in Mark 4, 1 through 9. I don't know that we're going to have them rolling along because I have so many scriptures. I told her don't try to keep up. They're just one-liners to show you the here, the heal, okay? Anyways, but we're going back over the soils because we have to make sure we have good soil. All right, so a farmer sowed some seeds, and Carissa referred to that as well, and some fell on, the first thing was the path. You remember what happened to the ones on the path? They got ate by the birds. They were just laying out there, not going in the ground at all. They're just laying there. The second one, they landed on rocks. They were scorched by the sun because it was such shallow soil, there were no roots. The third place is in the thorns, which choked out the seeds. You know those thorns, they take over. They really do. And the fourth is good soil, which will produce a harvest. So in verse 9, he said, then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Did you hear that? Again, I couldn't believe how many times I read the correlation in Scripture. That's why I was excited to share this. He said, those who have ears to hear, let him hear. We need to have good soil so we can hear the word as it goes in. So ask yourself these questions. Will the seed or the word of healing lay dormant in my spirit? Because I'm speaking them today. Are you good soil? You need to get some raking going on, some hoeing going on. Yeah? Well, I'm cultivating it up here, but you got to do that too. Is your heart soft and ready for seed? Are you ready? Is your soil good and rich and black? Dirt, good, nutrients? In Mark 4:14, the farmer sows the word, so be good soil so the word can germinate in your heart. Hear it, meditate on it, and it will go deeper and deeper. And you know what happens with a little seed? When it's in the ground, when it's in the right soil, and it gets some watering, and it gets some sunshine, the Lord, it opens up, and up pops a little plant, leaves, and then what happens? Fruit. It gets either a tree with fruit on it, or it gets flowers, whatever. You can just really see that, right? Thank you, Michelle. In verse 15, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. And as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. They were given a chance to believe the word, but the enemy stole it. Now we go out on the streets, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen that. No, I'm good. Thank you anyways. We gave them the chance. You threw some seeds, but they're good. All right, so verse 16 and 17. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Oh, I want Jesus. I love Jesus. Yes. But since they have no roots, they last only a short time. Then when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. I've seen those people. I just, one sticks in my head. We were at a gas station. We were there for a couple hours because we were waiting in between customers because this person was so hungry for Jesus. We waited and then we spoke and then we waited and we spoke. And it was a fantastic encounter. But when I went back in a couple days later to check on them, they were like, I don't even know you. They just treated me terribly. And I knew this is the parable right here. I saw it come to life right in front of my eyes. I can't tell you how many phone numbers I have in my phone where people won't answer. I get their phone number, and I try to call back to check on them, and they don't answer. So they've been given a chance, but they were shallow soil. They received it with joy, but it didn't go down deep. They need deeper roots in the healing word. Well, we're talking about healing, so healing word. Those people, though, God has plans, right? He'll send another harvester, and eventually God will get them. So I don't have to despair, but I did it first because I was like, gosh, I go out this every weekend. No, we don't have to despair. God will send more gardeners. So praise the Lord for that. He's got it. It's not mine. So in verse 18 to 19, still others, like seeds sown among thorns, they hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. How many times have you seen that? You're starting to disciple someone. You're getting started. Things are good. And then, oh, something grabs them and a chain pulls them back into the old past. And then we have to break it again and we get them back over here and boop, something else comes in. That's life. That's the way the devil works. And he doesn't want people to get set free, so he's going to continue to be the pool. So that's why coming to church and being with the body of believers and breaking those things off is so important. This is why we promote discipleship, because Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, just go tell everybody and leave them to be babies in the ground. No, he said, go disciple. And then when we get discipled, those things break off and we start running and we just get free. And then we start serving him in the way he needs us to serve him. That's the goal. So we need to pull those thorns and weeds out of the way. Get them out of the way. We don't want you. We're not going to. And we just stand beside each other and we say, nope, that's a weed. Pull it. I love pulling weeds. It's like deliverance. I weeded the sign down there. It's got weeds again. I got to get out there. Anyways, it's a constant thing. The devil's the same way. Constantly trying to bring back the ugly. But that's your past. And Jesus doesn't see your past anymore. He's washed us clean with his blood. The Father no longer sees any of the past. He only sees Jesus. That is the beauty of our God. That is how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, how much goodness pours out of him to us. I mean, I'm looking at the past and he's going, honey, look over here. That song that we sang this morning, you know, no, keep your eyes on him because we don't have to look back. We're not that person anymore. We've been created a new creature. And we may need a lot of growing, but we'll get there. We have the fullness of God in us. He's waiting to manifest himself. So with this situation with the thorns and the weeds, you know what you got to do? You got to take captive every thought. Make it obedient to the word of God. Don't allow that lie to take you back to your past. It's not worth it. Keep cultivating your field. Get that rake, that hoe out there, and keep getting them weeds out of the way. It's worth it. It's worth it. When you get past a certain point, the devil can't get you anymore. He leaves for a more opportune time, right? Isn't that what it says in Luke 4? Jesus told him three times what the word said, and he left for a more opportune time. I do that too. Get out of my face. Verse 20. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. I want 100. Yahoo! Anybody else? We want it. We want it. All right, Luke 8:15, same story, but spoken just a little bit different. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. We want that, don't we? We want to be the noble and good heart. And it says that who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. We want to be that heart that receives and keeps our healing, right? Jesus comes all the time and heals us. We don't even realize it. How many times have you cut your finger, not even thought about it, didn't pray, just stuck a Band-Aid on it? Healed. It healed. Our bodies are created to heal. I love getting a cut because I'm like, I'm going to watch this miracle happen in front of my eyes. I'm serious. I'm silly like that. But it's real. That's when I got a revelation. Like, I didn't even pray for that cut. It was so bad. Had to wear a Band-Aid for a week. But every time I took the Band-Aid off, it was in a process. It was in its journey of healing, and I didn't even pray for it. I love that. I gave glory to God. And every time there's a little bleeding going on from a cut, I'm giving glory to God. Yes, my body was created to heal itself because he is that good. We don't even think about it. He heals us all the time. We get a headache. We say, get out. Boom. An hour later, you don't even think about it anymore. It left. He did it. He did it. We don't even think about it again because we're not plagued by that. Start thinking like that, though. Like, I had a headache an hour ago, but Jesus did it. Constantly, constantly healing us, and yet the devil comes to steal it and bring it back to us. When we start thinking that headache's gone, an hour later we got it back, the devil brings it back because he wants you to think Jesus didn't do it. I was fooled by that for a long time. He does it. He does it all the time. And it's simple faith that brings the healing. We're all here trying to struggle to get it. And he really just does it because he loves us and he's that good. So ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and bring his healing waters over you. Don't let the situation, doctors, family members, your feelings or emotions steal your seed of healing. Be good soil. So now we're going to go through just some stories where I can show you that this correlation is placed. The truth is in God's word. Anybody gotten healed yet? Have we felt? Where's one? Hallelujah. He's in the room. He's doing it. The word is life. It's bringing life to your body right now. As you're hearing his word, taking it in, he's healing you. Amen? Jibber jabber. All right. The truth in God's word. The faith of the centurion whose servant needed healing. Matthew 8:5-13. But in verse 8, it says, just say the word. And my servant will be healed. You hear the correlation there. Just speak, my servant will be healed. Hear, listen, healed. Hear and be healed. Verse 13, then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed that very moment. That very moment. Isn't that awesome? If you sit with these healing scriptures, these words, these stories, these truths, and think about it, it happens every time. There's not one story in 62 in the whole four Gospels. There's 62 healing stories. Not one said that Jesus didn't heal him. Not one. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the soldier heard Jesus say, it is done, and he had a choice to believe it or not. Was it the truth or wasn't it? His faith said yes, and he walked into his victory. It's faith. Everything is received by faith. So when we get a thought that it's not there, take it captive. Don't let that thorn, that weed, take it from you. Get it underneath your foot. Stomp on it. We have power and authority Jesus gave us to crush that lie. We crush those lies that I'm too sick. I can't get it. I have an infirmity. Doctor said no one's going to take it. I'm going to live with this. I'm going to die with this. That's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus said, no, I want to heal you. You just need to go into my word and sit with me and receive it. Are you getting it? Are you getting it? It's so exciting. I'm sorry. I get highly excited about healing because I have a testimony that was 30 years in the making of ugly with sickness. Over and over and over in different areas, constantly moving in my body, taking from me the joy of my life. 30 years, guys. And it's because nobody told me this, and I didn't open the Bible. I went to a church where they fed you three verses a week, and that's all I needed. And every day I was sick. Every day. And then it was oppression and depression and anxiety came and post-traumatic stress. And Jesus healed me of all of it. And that's why I get so excited, because he did it. If somebody would have told me this years ago, I might not have spent so much time in sickness. But I know that realm, and I'm not going back.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, and I'm taking people with me. Two blind men crying out as Jesus walked by story. All right, in Matthew 9, 28 to 29. These two men were sitting on the side of the road, Jesus walking by. The men were calling out and following him because they had been hearing of his miracles. He was doing them all over the place, like we read earlier. He was everywhere doing them, and people were like, what is going on? I'm going to tell you, back then, they had more problems understanding that their sins were forgiven than they did healing. They all grabbed a hold of the healing, like, yeah, we want that. That's awesome. But you tell them their sins were forgiven? Well, no, you didn't live by the law. We're the flip. We're the flip. Today, we know without a doubt our sins are forgiven, and we're over here struggling to receive healing because it seems so daunting. It's not. I'm here to tell you it's not. The men were calling out and The men were calling out and following him because they had been hearing of the miracles he was doing. And Jesus asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? In other words, he said, do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Do you believe without a doubt? The answer was, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. When Jesus is Lord of your life, that's every area. That's not just your finances. That's not just your kids. That's not just your job. It's every area. That includes health. Okay? Some people grab a hold of the health and they don't believe the finances. No, Lord is over everything. Adonai. Yes, Lord. So in verse 29, it says, then he touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, let it be done for you. And their sight was restored. According to your faith. So what does that tell us? We have to cultivate that faith. We have to make that soil be good for that word according to our faith. Lord, help my unbelief. Right? And we can do that. That father did that in the scriptures, right? He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Call on the Savior to help you with your unbelief and get past it. Get past it. He's got freedom for you. Do we believe that he is Lord and that he speaks the truth? Only one?
Yes,
we do. We do believe the word is truth, right? Every word in the Bible is his love letter, and it is truth. And it is the spirit of life that brings everything you need. Do we trust him?
Yes.
Yeah, more people are trusting. That's good. This is simple faith with expectation. Simple faith with expectation. He says, put a demand on these things. I've given it to you. Put a demand on it. Receive it. You're not demanding from God. You're demanding in your faith. I believe. I believe. I talk to myself all the time. It's not really me, but to God. But I talk out loud and I just declare. Let me ask you this. Do you believe your sins are forgiven? I said it once. Do you believe that? Is there anybody in this room that doubts that they're forgiven? Then believe that you are healed by his word as well.
Amen.
Hearing was provided for in the atonement or sacrifice of Jesus Christ to reconcile us with God the Father. It's already been provided for us way back when, and they were together. So many people do not realize that. I was one of them. I didn't know. I knew when I got to heaven I would have a good body. No, he provided for us here on earth as it is in heaven. Call it down. How do you call it down? You call it down, say, Father, I want it, and then release it out of your spirit because he already gave it to you. It's already here. It's already in you. Yes. If you're not seeing your healing happen, is it him or is it you? Think about that. It's not God. He's not stopping it at all. He won't stop it. It's us. And I don't mean to point any fingers, but it was me for 30 years stopping it up. It was me. I didn't read his love letter. I didn't understand. I just relied on the church to teach me something I needed on Sunday, and I didn't have a secret place. I didn't have a time with God by myself to read his word and to hear in my spirit. I think I needed a Q-tip. You may need to press in, okay? If you're going through something, press in. You know, that word is important. It's pressing into God. You're going to his chest and you're, Father, I need you. Jesus, how do I get there? He will tell you. He will tell you. So we press in and we read scripture and we hear in our spirit the truth over the facts. The facts are your body's having an issue because we live in a sinful world. Not blaming you for sin, but sin is in the world. And from the minute we get a cold, it's the start of death. Obviously, we can fight a cold and we beat that death time. But that's what happens. Our bodies are aging. I don't look like I did when I was 17. We're aging. And it's a natural world thing because sin is in the world. But the truth is over the facts. I don't have to die sick. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to walk through this life crying and whining because I'm depressed. I don't. He gave me a way. He gave me his word. He gave us his word. He gave us his blood in the atonement. And we don't have to have these things. I wish somebody would have pounded me in the head. Whew. He is Lord, and he lives inside of you. Keep getting that picture. He's right here in the center, and as you release him, your mind changes when you read the word, and your mind starts believing this, and your body has to line up with what you believe. If you believe you have to be sick, guess what? You're going to be. I did. I believed everything those darn doctors taught me. Everything they said, every class to go take, every counselor to go see, every pill, I did it all. I did it all. I just didn't know any better. But I don't have any of that anymore. Amen. 7 doctors, 32 pills, and opiate patches out the window. Counselor, psychiatrist, all gone because Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. Amen. Met him face to face, got to a church that taught me, discipled me. And look what's coming out. Wow, praise the Lord. It says in Scripture, their sight was restored. When we're unbelievers and we are moving into beginning to be a believer, we have tunnel vision yet, right? But as we get discipled, our eyes start opening and our sight is restored, that we have hope, that we have a Savior, that we have the Word of God that changes everything. Praise the Lord. Our eyes were blind, but now they can be opened by the truth of the gospel if we let them. Jibber jabber. You will receive your healing because he is faithful. His promises always comes to pass. Right? Always, always his promises come to pass. He is a good God. All right, the next story is found in Luke 6:10. Jesus was in the synagogue and teaching, and he saw a man with a withered hand. Now, we know that was a Sabbath, right? So this was a big deal. But he saw this man with a withered hand, and I envision this one a lot. I love this story. He looked around at them all, and then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He could have went, "What hand? I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want anybody to know I'm sick. I don't want anybody to know I got a deformity. I don't want anybody to know anything. I'm just going to sit over here and hide it." Do we do that? Yes, we do. We try to say we don't have things wrong with us, but when we confess our sins and we confess our sicknesses, he's faithful to heal. So anyways, the man didn't do that. He did so. And guess what? His hand was completely restored. The man was given instructions by Jesus, and he obeyed. 1, what if he wasn't listening and couldn't hear the instruction? He would have missed it. He would have spent the rest of his life with a curled up hand. Can you imagine what those people were doing when that happened? Just incredible miracle right in front of their eyes. And we know what they did. They got angry. They got indignant. Crazy. I don't know about you, but I'd be dancing. And 2, what if he had just sat with the command and didn't do the action? Yeah, I heard you. Whatever. What's up? He would not have been healed. Are we hearing Jesus? Are we obedient to the word? Are we doers of the word, like it says in the book of James? Are we doers of the word? We want to be doers. We're reading it. We're hearing it. We're getting deeper revelation, but we got to do something with it. I want to be a doer. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. That man didn't hesitate. He just, I can. Oh my gosh. You know, he just believed. So move into your victory. Don't hesitate. Move into your victory. This man did not allow himself the time to doubt if Jesus could do it. He just did what he was told and he believed. I tell you what, when I started reading the scriptures, I was kind of like, okay, that's good for all those people in the Bible. Okay, that's good for the people at church that tell me they've got a healing. I don't know. Is it for me? I mean, I wrestled with that. I listened to the healing CD thousands and thousands, probably 10,000s by now, thousands and thousands of time until all of a sudden the word got to me that said, he healed all. That's the simple revelation that Jesus gave me. He healed all. And I, in my car driving, I went, I'm all. I'm part of all. I am part of all. Oh my goodness, God. Oh my God. Yes. I mean, you didn't think I had seen the Grand Canyon open up. It was revelationary because I'm part of all. And when I go pray for people, are you all? That's the one I use. God gives you something, you use that one for people and they'll get their own, but maybe they'll get mine. I don't know. We're going to go do all in front of their face, but all is a big word to me. It brought everything to me. So did you catch it? It said his hand was completely restored. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Completely restored. So then you get those people that say, well, he made me this way. Yes, because of sin in the world, a deformity happened. God didn't do that. God did not do that. He created you in his image. And you, and it's hard to talk to people like that that have one leg or one arm and tell them that. But we got to try to break through and say, he didn't want that. He created you in his image, and he's not walking around with one leg. He's not walking around with one arm. That's a heavy, heavy to say to somebody like that. But we can if we do it in love and we speak the truth and say, that's not what God has for you. There's more. Amen. Okay, now we're going to go to Mary and Martha in Luke 10:39. She, Martha, had a sister called Mary. I got you to know, I'm a Martha. Yeah, I have worked hard to be a Mary. I'm a doer of everything, not just the word. And I have to really find and sit myself down and let the Lord speak to me. But Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. I bet she had her Q-tips. Martha was complaining about Mary not helping to serve. And, okay, where's my sister? Christmases. I'm on the kitchen working, and she's enjoying the family in the other room. I could just smack her. Mary and Martha, she enjoyed the holiday. I was frantic in the kitchen. It was ridiculous. I did not know how to sit down, how to relax in any way, shape, or form. Obviously, anxieties, issues, not anymore. You get it, or we're going to eat chips, because that's all I care about right now. I'm enjoying the family now. But that's Mary. That's why I identify with this story, because you got to sometimes work to be Mary. If you're a doer and you're always doing, having dirty dishes is okay, Sarah. It's okay. They'll be there tomorrow too. I don't dust my house because it's just going to get dusty again. I have come to that revelation. I hate dusting. It's the worst chore. My laundry's always done. My dishes are done, but the dust is there. And so when I have people over, I just dim the lights, put on the candles, and we're good. Hallelujah. There are more important things in the world than dusting. Amen. Thank you. Look at that. I got a big amen on that one. All right. Okay, so but Jesus said in verse 42, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. The more time you spend in God's presence, the more time you spend with him, getting that word down in you, it cannot be taken away from you. Devil cannot steal one bit of all that I've poured into me. He can't, because as he tries to bring up my past, that's a nothing anymore. My past doesn't even come up very often anymore. I only use it for the testimony. You don't get to hear all the yucky that I lived through because I don't even bother. God did it. It's good. You know, you heard it, right? So anyways, you need to build your own faith and be in a relationship with Jesus. That is what changed my life when I found Jesus at 50 years old. It was when I found out it's not about being at church. It's not about sitting in the back pew. It's not about making sure I get my kids there and dress nice and all lined up. It's a relationship with Jesus, and I did not have one. And when I started one, it changed everything, and I had to go to a different church. And the Lord brought me here, and I kept saying, I'm not going there. It's a little church at the back of the house. I'm not going there. It's down a long lane. That's scary. So he got me outside of the church to meet them, and then I'm like, oh, okay, where's your church? Are you kidding me? But he wanted me here because I always wanted to serve him, and he brought me here, and here I am. And God is good. And I got discipleship, I got mentored, I got fed, and they taught me how to be a Mary. And it doesn't seem like it. Elizabeth tells me all the time, are you resting? Yes, I am, but I love to disciple, I love to serve God, but I do spend a lot of time in the morning and in the evening resting with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because if you're not resting in the Lord, then people can't see him in you. All right, moving on to the next story. Jesus heals an official's son in John 4:50. This was the second miracle that Jesus performed in Cana in Galilee. He had turned water into wine at the wedding, and the official heard about what Jesus had done. So in his desperation, he asked Jesus to come heal his dying child. Jesus replied, "You may go. Your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word, and he departed. Guess what? His son lived. And it says in verse 53, he and all his household believed. So notice how the official's faith grew. He believed enough to ask Jesus to help his son. He believed when Jesus spoke that his son would live, and he acted on it. And then he and his whole household believed in Jesus. When your family sees you healed, when they see you different than what you've been, your whole however long you've been going through your thing, they notice. They notice. My kids, they notice. They're like, you are different. They're not here. All of them are not here, but they notice. They know I'm different. There's no way I could have been healed from that I lived with. Even my psychiatrist said, I've never seen anybody use faith to get out of what you've been through. Testimony to God, and I gave Jesus the glory. By that point, it's like, I'm out of here. And he's like, you can always come back. Nope, I'm done. Thank you. It was awesome. It was a big day after 19 years of being there. You know, jibber jabber. Faith is a gift that grows as we use it. As you use your faith, as you step out, you can be sure and certain, and sure and certain, and it grows and grows and grows, and you will see it. People will see it. That's what Jesus is counting on. He wants people to see us well and whole so that the world sees something different. If we're always limping and crying, and we don't look like that. We don't look like Jesus. And they get all like, I don't know if I want that. Right? Now, there's no condemnation out of what I'm saying. I was limping and crying for a long time. And I'd say, I'm Christian. I believe in Jesus. My psychiatrist actually asked me somewhere in all that, do you have faith? I'm like, that was a bad day. That was a bad day. Yeah, I do. What are you saying? But we need our faith to grow, and we got to do it. Thank you for helping me. Isn't he a sweetheart? And I see another one in the back row that I'm kind of getting fond of, too. Okay, another story. John 11 in 40 to 44. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Who wants to see the glory? Amen. Okay, keep your hands up. Who's getting healed in the room? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Oh boy, we can call out things. We can say, no, you don't have to have that. Call it out. Deliverance is a real big part of our salvation package. Don't be afraid of it. It's a gift from God for his children. Deliverance is for the church. Deliverance isn't for the outside because they'll just bring them back. They don't know how to keep them away, so we don't want them to get more and more and more. But when we're in the church and you need something, fears come on you, something's going on, don't hide. Jesus wants to set you free. And when we invite up for prayer, come up and get that thing off of you. You don't have to go home with it. I mean, I think the first time I realized that, I was having fear from a car accident I passed on the way to church. And I had been in some tragic car accidents. That's part of my testimony. And I sat through this whole service just shaking inside. Just the images of mine, of that car accident, just going, going, going. And I come up here. I remember I pulled up a chair because I thought I'd fall. And I said, come on, church, pray for me. Get this thing off of me. And as you all prayed, I felt my fingers go paralyzed. And that thing was trying so hard to hang into me because it was part of my past. Thank you, Jesus. Some strong deliverance people said, get out of her, with all authority given to them by the Lord. And it flew out of my body, and I just felt it like that. It's real, and they must go. They do not have to stay. That's part of our healing package. So if you've got something that's plaguing and you just can't, meditating just isn't getting you there, allow somebody to pray for you. We're the church. It's our unity of faith as the body that joins with the head, and we're complete. So rely on your brothers and sisters, because it really is a good thing. All right, so people saw the end results of Lazarus coming out, and they were very happy that he was raised from the dead. But some may have missed the glory in working together with God for the fulfillment of his plan for them. Because we know not everybody got healed because there were people that he walked by, right? Said that he walked by the gate all the time to go in. That man never sought Jesus. But that was for a later time, right? In John 3, when Peter and John were walking by, they saw him, and at that time he got his healing. But Jesus walked by him because the man wasn't seeking him. It's not that he would have healed him if he had sought him. But, you know, the seeds on the path, we don't want to be that for our healing, do we? We don't want to leave those seeds on the path just getting ate by the birds. It's very important that your soil is good. That's why I started out with that. Jesus spoke with authority, and he commanded death to leave Lazarus' body. We can do the same when sickness and disease comes on us. We can command it to leave with our faith because of his resurrection power and blood sacrifice. Even a child, if they've invited Jesus into their heart, can say, stop it. Fingers, stop hurting. They have all authority too. It's all inside of them the same way. So don't think that, well, I can't do it because I haven't studied all of that. No, we've been given all authority to walk in the fullness of God. And I'm telling you what, God often has me learn on the fly. And I got into my first real deliverance outside of the church, and I was like hanging on for dear life. I wasn't going to let my nephew go, but I was hanging on. And I was like, oh, Lord, don't. Wow, well, this is really crazy. But God's there. It's him that's doing it. I just hung on. I just kept speaking the word of God over it until it was done. That's, you know, but I didn't have my body around me, and it was happening anyways, and we're going to do it because Jesus is the one who does it. All right, so what can we take away from all of this today? The Lord has given us principles to follow in his word. This message of hearing and healing is one of them. If we take in his word and believe in our hearts and declare it with our mouths, we receive his salvation for us. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Amen. Receive it in our hearts, confess it with our mouths, we will be saved. He has done his part, and he has shown us how to do ours. So we must seek him through his word and trust him to bring the truth of Jesus Christ to fullness in our lives. Because he's there. Okay, now Jesus used many methods of healing. When you study the scriptures, you see he put his finger in somebody's ear, he spit in his eye, and he did all kinds of crazy things. You know why? He didn't want the method to always be the same. He didn't want you to go, all right, it says in step one, I do this. In step two, I do that. He wants you to seek him. He wants you to seek him for your specifics. Isn't he a good God? He knew that he couldn't write up, well, he could have. We'd had a really big manual, but couldn't write up every possible way that he chooses to do it. So anyways, he always used the same principle. The same principle that we're talking about today. He spoke, they believed, and healing manifested. Okay? There are specific steps that we need to take in obedience to cooperate with his healing power, and he will give it to you. Sometimes it's simple, put a Band-Aid on. Sometimes it's go get treatment. Sometimes it, you know, just ask him. If you listen for the voice of the Lord your God and then be a doer of the word, not just a hearer, your healing will come. We must have a faith response. Knowing what action to take only comes by learning to depend on him and by listening to his voice because you are in a relationship with him. The sheep know my voice. We have to seek him. Jesus didn't always heal people the same way every time. Sorry, reading as I already said it. He listened to the Father. He followed the Spirit and involved the recipients of the healing. They were given an action to complete the process. The principles are always the same, but the methods are not. So each battle over our health is different, and we need to apply different methods to be healed. But it's not complicated. It's just listening to his voice and being directed. This requires us to be dependent upon the Lord and listen to his voice. So I'm going to give you 3 points that have some little things to each point. So if you're taking notes, get ready. Number one, get in God's presence. You got to get to know how much God loves you. Meditate on the depths of that love. Sometimes that's all it takes, is just how much he loves me. It's all it takes. You don't even have to do anything. You don't even have to think about going to the doctor. The love of God can overcome you, and you will be healed. Favorite way to do it. I like that one. I don't want to go back to doctors anymore. Healing is in the atonement. Our Heavenly Father provided healing to us through the sacrifice of his Son Jesus. That's some pretty big love. Let that love wash over you when you're in his presence and just sit in that and the healing can come just like that. All right, number two, listen for his instructions. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We surround ourselves with faith builders and get into agreement in prayer for healing. That's an important one. We need to be in agreement. If you're praying for your health with someone who doesn't believe in healing, you're not in agreement. Agreement is a powerful tool. You want to call somebody who believes you can get there too. You don't want somebody that's going to like, well, you could get halfway healed, but you'll probably always have to take medication. That's not what you want. You want wellness, not just healing, wellness. Amen. Jesus said, I want it to be well with your soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions, which then control our bodies. We need our soul well, not healed, well. Okay, that's a step up. All right, so receive ministry. I already talked about that. But with the anointing of oil, laying on of hands, or the Holy Spirit gifts of healing, healings. Those three are given to us, to the church. So if you're not getting it on your own, there's those options too. They're in there. They're in 1 Corinthians. But there's many, many methods, but he will tell you which one to pick, okay? He will guide you and lead you. The third one, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and put your faith into action. And how do we do that? One, he gave us a mind, a creative mind. Imagine yourself well. Imagine that. I would never have thought that. Never. Not in a million years when I was going through what I was going through. I could sit and see myself getting worse and worse and worse. I could see myself crying all the time, but I did not visualize myself well. That's a powerful tool that God has given us. See yourself well. See it. See it. And when you see it, you can grab for it. Pastor Harley told me once he had a picture of a good back on his refrigerator. He looked at it every day. That's my back. That's the way I was created. That's what I'm getting back to. Amen? Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to try that. It's good. It's good. See yourself well. The other thing, exalt the truth over the facts. Oh, my leg hurts. Oh, my leg hurts. Nope, the truth is I'm healed. The truth is I'm healed. People get stuck up on that and they say you're lying. You're lying. You're limping. Your leg hurts. You're lying. No, the truth is God's word and I'm applying it. It's my salve over the facts. Okay, it's not lying. It's not lying. It's declaring the truth. It's no different than declaring your children are saved. If they're not, you're still declaring it because that's the truth of the word of God that he has promised you in your heart. We have to do the same thing with healing for our bodies. All right? It's not lying. It's believing God. It's simple faith with expectation. And I love this one. Get aggressive in your faith. The violent take it by force, it says in Matthew 11:12. Examine your heart to remove any barriers of doubt and unbelief and get violent. This is my healing and you're not stealing it. I won't allow it. Back off. Get out. Blah, 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 and keep going. Dance around your living room, whatever you got to do. But get violent with your faith. Don't be passive. Don't sit there and go, well, my leg hurts. And, you know, I'm just going to say a scripture. No, get violent. It's yours. The devil's stealing from you. Don't let him. I get so mad at him. He stole so much of my life. That's right. Greater is he that is in me. Boy, I sat through an MRI the other day doing that one. I think the guy that was watching me on camera, which was right there as my body's inside, greater is he that is in me. Greater, greater, greater is he. And he was probably getting an earful. Hopefully he got some revelation too. Because I don't like MRIs and I didn't want to go, but I did it. Anyways, I listened to God and what he told me to do, and I went and did it. And guess what it showed? Not a stinking thing. Which was my prayer. The doctor saying, could be this, could be this, could be that. Am I going to send you here? Might have to. Nope. And I went through the test because the Lord said do it. And I was right. I got to prove that. I got to say, see, I told you, my God is good. Share. Okay, so the other thing underneath that topic is Jesus often said, may it be done according to your faith. Would you like to have that violent faith working for you? According to your faith. Get your faith violent. Get aggressive. God said, I'll give it to you. Don't let the devil take it. You're not being mad at God. You're telling the devil, go. It's mine. Back off. And we do that with certain things, right? If your car won't start, start car! We can do it for our healing as well. All right. If you don't receive specific instructions from the Lord, you can't quite hear what you're supposed to be doing, then you are to act on whatever wisdom key for healing you feel strongest about. God will confirm his word with signs following. It says when he preached the word, when the word is preached, what happens? Miracles, signs, and wonders follow. Every time, because it's the gospel. So if you don't know what else to do, just start speaking it and he will do it. Because when our faith only goes so far, he takes it the rest of the way because he's that good, because he loves you, right? And I'm telling you, when you pray for somebody and you're extending your hand, you're thinking, okay, are you going to do it, God? Are you going to do it? Well, you got to believe that he does because he says so. And then I say, my faith only goes here. He says, I'll take it the rest of the way. Just do the action of doing it and I will take care of it. That took a lot of pressure off, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Faith always works. All right. I got a question for you at this point. I have said a nonsensical word in this sermon. Did anyone hear it? Jibber jabber. Absolutely. How many times did I say it?
Three, four.
Give me. What do you think? There's a one. There's a three. Three. I said it three times. That was a test. That was a test to see if you were hearing what I was speaking. Exactly. You need a Q-tip? I brought them for a reason. You can go back and listen to the podcast anytime and pick up Jibber Jabber three times. Yeah, I told her, I said, the Lord said do something fun like that. And I'm like, what word? What word? And my dad gave it to me. He's writing a book and he said the word Jibber Jabber on the phone. I'm like, that's the word. Because it makes no sense with what we're doing, right? Anyways, I just wanted to test. Wasn't that fun? Ha ha ha. Good, good. All right, so we can use this principle in ministry as well for everyone else. So Romans 4, 10, 14 to 17, it says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who may have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We have to speak how good God is. We have to give him glory out there. This is why he wants us well. So we can preach it. So we can say, Jesus did it for me. He'll do it for you. He loves us both the same. I'm not any better than you are. But he did it for me. He'll do it for you. And I have a passion in my heart to tell people God is the healer. Because he set me free. I wish somebody would have told me that years and years and years ago. They just kept saying, when you get to heaven. And so I believed that. When I got to heaven, I was going to be healed. But boy, life down here was pretty stinky. I didn't want to kill myself, but I wanted to die. I was like, Lord, whenever you're ready, my kids will be all right. Just take me. I am done. I can't tell you how many times I was done. But I had life to live, and God did it. And I put these principles into play when I got here and had somebody tell me that. Praise the Lord. So we've got to tell people there is more. There is more. We don't have to live in our yuck. We do when we speak it out there in the stores and stuff, people often are the first one. It's just thrown on the path. But they did hear it. They did hear it. They had a choice to hear it. Eventually, praise God, he'll bring them into where they will be good soil as well. Okay, be followers of him in your ministry to others. Listen to his voice, follow the Spirit, and be led to whatever action you are to take for the person you're ministering to. It's really that simple. He will tell you what to do. So we love, we listen, we discern, and we respond. And when you walk in those four principles, God can operate. We love, listen, discern, respond. And we walk by that here. We love on the people. Love is listening, right? We listen to whatever they're telling us. We listen to where they're at in their faith. And the Holy Spirit will give us discernment on how to respond to take them to the next level for where they're at. Your faith may make the difference of life and death in someone else. If you think about that, that's a pretty heavy calling, isn't it? Do you want to know that you help save people from death, that you help call people back from the brink, that you taught them something different? The name of Jesus, the gospel will give them hope. And that's what we want. We want people to have hope. So I'm going to share a little testimony of what happened yesterday, since we're talking about ministry and taking these things to people. I was called by a person that I met 8 years ago doing Time to Revive when I first was a baby Christian. I was just 50 when I heard the gospel for the first time. And I went there to share the gospel with others in Steuben County. And this couple invited me into their home, and they changed my life. They just had such radical faith. I've never seen anything like it. And I took them kind of as surrogate parents. And we stayed up all night. I'd never been so refreshed from not getting any sleep. It was so awesome. And I just always thought about them. And over the years, through Facebook, we've kept in touch or whatever. Anyways, her husband was dying this week. And she got a hold of me Monday or Tuesday, and I was on vacation. And I said, I will pray and ask God when to come, because I knew I was going to go. You got to go, right? Somebody calls you and they need you. You're going to go. But she let me know the next day, he's decided to go ahead and let go and die. And I'm like, okay, can I still come? And she was waiting to say, will you still come? And I'm like, yep, we're going to come. We'll minister whatever way the Lord says. And that's where you're discerning. He will tell you what to say and how to say it. You just go be his presence and do whatever that family needs at that moment. So the Lord gave me words of knowledge, and we set up to go. But Friday night, he was dying. And right after healing class, she asked me to come, and we had healing class here, and I couldn't go. And I sat there and said, like, how do you do this balancing act? Because they need me, but I had to teach class, and what do we do? And the Lord just, he'll be there tomorrow. He'll be there tomorrow when you go, because he had given me the time previously in the week. Guess what? He was still there. God is good. The word that the Lord gave me to give was, come out of that grave. Like, oh my goodness, okay, you go into a home full of people that are surrounding their loved one and letting them go, and to say that. So I met everybody, and I said, okay, sometimes people don't like what we say, but I'm just going to give you what the Lord said. And they're like, okay. And I spoke it, and they came alive. They came alive because people been going in and saying goodbye all week, and they were sick of it, and they wanted hope. And they're like, oh. And his sister said, the Lord told me he stinketh not. All right, that's confirmation. Praise the Lord. And then the vision that he gave me, a woman on the couch said, I've been seeing a window all week. Confirmation. God is good. He has a plan. So the family was all on board at this point. I actually had one person, one of his daughters that was sitting close by, and she was like, kind of hesitant, and I'm like, trying to discern. And she wanted to say something, then she goes, no, finish what you're saying. So I read the Bible verses that the Lord gave me for this, and she said, oh, okay, thank you, because I was waiting to see if you were going to be one of those that told us we had to put him in the grave. I'm like, no, I'm saying come out. And she said, me too. She came alive after that. Everyone's faith in the room lit up. We had to pause because they called everybody they know to come watch the miracle. I've never been in a home like that. It was amazing. I was there extra hour waiting on people to arrive to see the miracle of God. Come on, Jesus. But guess what happened? While people are coming in and they're telling me, oh, this is so-and-so, the whole family, the neighbors, the church people. And I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm not going to remember everybody's name. And they're like, it's okay. And it was beautiful because I kept having to tell the one part of the story. Tell them how you met us. And just that I told them, and I could cry every time I say it. They poured into me when I was such a baby, that this is God giving provision back to them. That's why I was there. I know it. I know it because they put me up and they fed me when I was just a baby. I needed that milk really bad. And they gave it to me. They poured into me. And here I am 8 years later, and she calls out to me, I'm going to go give back. Yeah. Freely you have received, freely give. It's the power of God. So every time somebody new came in, I had to tell that part of the testimony. Who are you? It doesn't matter. It's Jesus. It's all good. It's, don't worry about my name, you know. So the beautiful part of the next thing was, is while we're waiting, I look over, some of the grandchildren have been giving me their testimonies of when they came to God. And this granddaughter sitting here, I said, tell me your testimony. And she said, I don't have one. Do you love Jesus? Nope. I don't know what to believe. I'm in chaos. I said, can I share 5 verses with you? She says, sure. It was so loud in the room, we had to go outside. And we went outside, and praise God, I had revived stuff in my car. I wasn't planning on that. I mean, you can always whip it out of your Bible, but, you know, I had the tools in the car. We walked through that gospel. That girl's crying, and she said yes to Jesus. Okay, there's one out of the grave, right? Hallelujah. She was just so, yes, the chaos was removed. The chaos was removed. And she was smiling and excited, and she's going to share it with her kids. And she goes, my daughter loves church. Church never did anything for me. I understand that. Been there, done that. So she went on out, do whatever in the yard. I went back in, and her mom was the one that had challenged me for a minute. And I said, new one in the kingdom. She goes, oh my God, it's a miracle. And she starts bawling. And I said to the Lord, because I had been praying on the way there, switched over from praying for them to my family. And the Lord said, you're sowing, you will reap. Yeah. So I have a picture of this young lady with me, and that is my new mantra that I sow into kids that age, because my kids, I'm going to reap a harvest. I cried all day about that. God is good, and I am sowing into them, and I will reap. My children will be at the banquet table. Yes. Hallelujah. God set that up for us. It's not about money. It's about giving back and getting back, the sowing and reaping. It's powerful. So I love that she shared that today. All right, so that girl got saved by the gospel. She is a little blown away by what happens next. We all prayed together. I reiterated that I'm nobody special. I'm just somebody who believes the power of God is within us, and I want to share it with you. So I just raised their level of faith. They already have a lot of faith, but I raised their level of faith, and I said, it's all of us together. It's not me. It's us, and it's him. And I said, we know what we're going to do. We're going to do some deliverance on cancer. Okay? That's one thing. And if you haven't experienced that, don't be afraid. And they were ready for that. Some of them, the granddaughter, the new one, she wasn't. But we did deliverance on cancer. We just said, you are not living in this man's body. And he was kind of breathing kind of funny and different things. After that, settled down. He settled down. He never woke up, but he settled down. And we prayed then healing, and we released healing. We prayed with oil. We laid the oil on him, and everybody's hands were on him around the bed. It's a beautiful picture when the whole family is a part of this, you know, it was just, I'd never been in a house that had such level of faith to receive everything God had for them. It was powerful. I just am so humbled that Lord let me be a part of that. And so when I started praying for I announced that Jehovah Rapha was here. I could feel his presence so powerfully. And she had been telling me, so-and-so needs healed, so-and-so. Will you pray so-and-so? I don't have to pray for anybody. He's in the room. He's in the room. And people were just, I said, just claim it. I am healed. And people were yelling out, I am healed. And it was just like the most amazing church experience I ever had in somebody's home. And so then we went back. I went back over to him, and I laid my hands on his legs, and I was praying for strength for his legs to be able to get out of that bed. And his legs started twitching. The muscles in his legs started twitching, like doing something. And I'm like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we put on a worship song. Actually, I did go pray for this man over here. I don't know why I felt led to, but he had a cane, and I went over to him, and the power of God went in him, and he received powerfully. And I found out later that he's in dialysis, and the Lord healed him too. He was a missionary that had to stop doing ministry work because of this. So that man, I know, is healed. The wife next to him, same. Her cane dropped on the floor. She went to get it. I said, you don't need that anymore. Just leave it there. And I said, just receive. And I spoke some words over her. But everybody else, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. Jehovah Rapha's got it. So we put on a worship song. And we all just stood around and worshiped to I exalt thee. Because he is so good. And I just kept looking around, and my job's done. I got to go. I was supposed to be seeing my dad. I'm an hour and a half late now. But it was the most amazing, amazing encounter experience that I've ever been through, because the believers were ready for it. They were hungry. They wanted what God had for him. Praise God. I think I'm going to end on that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.